his lovely wife. Thank y'all for being here. Appreciate you for coming. Jessica, thank you. Amen. Let me know if he's misbehaving. Amen. We can pray. But no, it's good to see y'all. Always good to see you. Amen. All right, everyone else, turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. And I know it is Memorial Day weekend. I am going to try to transition to this. And the goal here is to help us understand that there is a clean way. A clean way. And if you give me a moment of your time, I'm going to help us understand what I mean by that. How we're going to remember those who gave their lives for freedom. But I want us to understand Psalm 119:9 real quick. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Now we understand today in America there's going to be flags over cemeteries waving. We'll have flags here at the church. We need to do a better job with that. It's my fault. But there's going to be names being remembered. Families that are pausing to honor men and women that have given their life, you know, paid the ultimate price for freedom. And I want you to know that this Memorial Day, it's not just about being a long weekend. Like I said earlier, it's remembering those that, as Americans really, it's remembering those that paid a costly price. They paid with their lives. So you and I could be free. So you and I can have this freedom to go to church without being under a communist country or being in a dictatorship. As people, we have the privilege and we are able to enjoy the freedoms that others had paid with their dear life. You can't take that lightly. Regardless of our political views, regardless of maybe our past history, look at the fact where we're at right now. You follow me? We're a people, a diverse group of people that are in one place for a common denominator, and that's Jesus. But as Americans, our national pride, I want you to understand that we are free because there are people that have paid for that freedom. Many young soldiers who had dreams left their homes. Many young soldiers who had families, they left their homes. Many young soldiers who had futures ahead of them left their homes, and they paid the price. Can you imagine, think about your family, right? I can only imagine my children. I don't want them to go to war, follow me? But I can just imagine those children who I love dearly. I would rather go to war with my decrepit self. I would rather go to war in their stead. But the truth of the matter is, can you imagine these young people who have bright futures ahead of them going to war and then losing their life in battle? So that way you and I can continue living free. That way you and I can continue going to church without the intervention of a government. You follow me? Here's the thing. That's taken place. So as we remember those heroes today, we're also reminded of this. There's another battle. And that's why I'm using Psalm 119, verse 9. There's another battle taking place, but it's every day of our lives. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for the heart. It's a spiritual battle for the mind. And it's a spiritual battle for the direction of that next generation. And the devil is doing a great job winning the battle of our heart, of our mind, and the next generation. I want you to understand that we're living in a world that is flooded with confusion. It's flooded with immorality, compromise, bitterness, jealousy, ungodly influences. And just like the soldiers that fought to preserve the freedoms of our nation, as believers, as Christian soldiers, we must fight to preserve the spiritual truth in our homes. Dad, if you are the, if you have children or a wife or husband, you are that leader of that home. You need to fight for your home. You need to fight for your marriage. Don't let the world influence you. Amen? Mamas or wives, that's your home. That's your nation. That's the home that God has given you. Fight for that. Fight to keep the spiritual truth absolute, the top priority in your life. Because I will tell you this, it's the spiritual truth that will preserve our homes, that will preserve our churches, and will preserve the lives of the next generation. If you're still with me, say amen. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? In other words, how can someone stay right in a world that's constantly pulling them to do wrong? The answer is not found in the culture, by the way. Amen. We've discovered that. Amen. The answer is actually found in the Word of God. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you this morning or this afternoon. First point is this. The world pollutes the way of man. The world pollutes the way of man. The Bible, again, says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I want you to understand this. Great sacrifices are made to preserve what's right. My mom didn't fight in a war. When she left El Salvador, she left with the mindset of, my dad, her father, my grandfather, is not going to raise my children. She left with the mindset, and he could have. Our family, I'm not saying they're well off, but they do okay. If I wanted to move there, I'd be fine. Amen. And it's not MS-13 junk either. I mean, these people worked. Amen. But the thing about it, she came from a decent family. And in that decent family, it wasn't her fault that my brother's and sister's father, who she was married to, left her. He would beat her. He would abuse her. My mama I love my mama, but she just didn't have wisdom or good judgment and character. This man cheated on her, whatever. Then she came to America, and lo and behold, it's like it happened again, right? My dad, amen? But she didn't fight as a soldier, follow me, for the national freedom. What she was fighting for was a spiritual freedom for her home. A home that was dysfunctional, that didn't have a father and mother, didn't have a man to stand up, provide, and protect the family. She had a fight for the spiritual truth that if my boys are going to make it, if my girls are going to marry right, we're going to have to do something about this. See, it's a spiritual warfare that's going on that I'm trying to help us understand. I understand as a nation, there are people that have paid a great price, but I want you to also understand that there are great sacrifices that are made to preserve what is right. And just like my mama, many of you understand what I'm talking about. You have to go to work, right? You have to maybe work one or two jobs. Maybe you have to go get your education so that way you can continue climbing up the corporate ladder. Some of you have to work long hours. Some of you, you're not able to work. And you're in a situation where you're trying to figure out, God, what can I do next, right? So you're becoming business owners, amen? You're hustling. You're figuring out what we do in H-Town, amen? We hustle, hustle town. But but the thing is, you're discovering it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of energy. And if you associate with the wrong people, they can ruin your dreams. They can ruin the direction you're trying to take your family. And there are some people sometimes in your life that you have to fight against so you can do right. Follow me? Because if not, they're going to distract you. They're detractors, right? They're going to distract you. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Of death. You understand that throughout history, freedom has always required sacrifice. Men have stormed beaches. Women have served courageously. Families have buried loved ones beneath the American flag. Amen. Why? Why have they done that? Because here's plain and simple English. Some things are worth fighting for. Some things are worth dying for. If you want a marriage that's worth dying for, then start putting in the work. Be committed. Be willing to say, hey, I'm willing to die for this. If you have a family, be willing to die for it. You have to understand that the world pollutes the way of man. It corrupts our thinking. It corrupts our passions, our heart, our desires. And we start putting secondary things primary in our life, when instead it should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't Don't get distracted what I'm telling you. Fight for your family. Fight for your marriage. Fight because some things are worth fighting for. In the same way, right? Having a marriage, having a family, having good finances, having a church family, it doesn't happen by accident. Amen? You have to be determined. You have to fight. None of us are perfect, but I will tell you this. Living clean in a world that's corrupt, it requires intentional commitment. You and I need to understand this. The world is constantly pushing pride. In Hollywood, in telenovelas, amen, soap operas, amen, they're constantly pushing pride in songs that, I don't know, they don't make sense, amen. Sorry, I'm not trying to get in the world, but in my era, I think we had the best music. No offense to everybody else. Amen. Just saying, I could understand the words, amen. Biggie, amen, he just breathed, he's like, oh, you know, it just sounded cool, amen. But nowadays, I don't understand what people are saying nowadays, amen. Here's the thing that I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be cool or anything. I'm trying to tell you that, I don't know why I followed that the squirrel. The world is trying to push other things in your life to distract you. They're trying to push anger, lust, rebellion, selfishness. They're trying to push all these things that are without God. And I'm going to tell you, my children need God the same way I needed God when I was in that broken, dysfunctional part of my life. That child that was traumatized by not having a father, that created low self-esteem, insecurities in his life, that child, he's still in here, but I needed God to help reconnect with society and help me heal over those issues, the inner hurts that no man could help. My mama tried. The way she helped is by working two jobs, providing food, the little bit that we can eat, paying the bills, not losing the house. That was her way, but that wasn't enough for me. I know you might say, well, you're being selfish. No, what I'm trying to say is I had experienced trauma to an extent that material things could not heal. The comfort of a home could not heal. I needed the presence of a father, and that's what I was lacking to become a man that I needed to become. Follow me? That's why you need God. Now, I understand in your situation, it might not be the same. Follow me? But there are certain issues and certain things that you deal with that without God, I'm telling you, it'll be worse. If you can have God in you and stop letting the world distract you, stop letting the world pull you away, can I tell you, there's a clean way on how to live your spiritual life. Include God. Include God when people don't understand. Again, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the what? Glory of God. I want you to know that we're all sinners, obviously. We fall short to the standard that God has, right? The freedoms that we enjoy today, you have to understand, and I have to understand, are preserved by the people that were courageous. They were preserved by the people that were willing to stand against evil at that time. Spiritually speaking, in our homes, we need to fight for truth. And we need to defend it today. Parents, it's not good enough for us to tell our children when they ask us a question, well, why should I obey you? It's not good enough to answer because I say so. Because all you're going to do is create resentment and bitterness. And the Bible commands us, provoke, right? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath or anger, right? In Colossians, depending on what passage, in Ephesians or Colossians. The point that I'm trying to make is, it's better for us to understand, what does the Word of God say? I can't pass the buck either, and I can't say, well, because the Bible says so. Listen, we want to help our kids. Explain it to them. Explain it. Pastor, that takes too much effort. But it doesn't take much effort to put your phone away. How much time do we spend on these things? Let's be honest. It doesn't take that much effort. We get that dopamine hit. Boom. Wow. Cool. Another reel. Boom. Wow. Cool. You're an addict. The same addiction that it takes for a crackhead, you know, Mary Jane, amen. All these other addictive drugs, even, what is it, painkillers? That's what you're getting, a hit of dopamine time and time again. You're getting it worse. because you can justify it. It's not actually illegal. So what? It's distracting you from finding that spiritual truth and saying in your home when your child says, why should I obey you? You know what? That's a good point. Let's see what the Bible says. Here, let's find it. Here it's in Ephesians 6:1. Well, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, I'm going to tell you why you're supposed to listen to me. It's not because I deserve it. It's because if you want to have a right standing with God, He's going to bless you. And then if you go to the next verse, what does it say? The next verse. If you honor your parents, it will what? Increase. Ephesians 6:2, real quick. Come on, Brother Benjamin, you know this. So your days can long on the earth. So, and listen, and yeah, the first commandment with promise, right? And so look at it. Look at it this way. When you're explaining to them, well, if you want to be right with God, you need to obey your parents, not because they deserve to be obeyed, but because you want to be right with God. And don't you want to please your father? Oh, yeah. And then they get this concept. There's a God. There's someone bigger than us. That's the whole point. You want to give them faith. So when they're at work, they have to think, man, it's bigger than just a paycheck. Hey, it's for my family. Guess who's going to give them that? God. Because you're teaching them about God. And you're teaching them that God is for the family. And then when you teach them in that second verse, honor is not obedience. Right? Honor is putting yourself out of it and saying, hey, this is my mama. Mama, what seat do you want? This one? All right, let me move out of the way. That's your seat, mama. Dad, what do you want for Burger King? Amen. I can only afford Burger King. What do you want for Burger King? Just a Whopper. You want fries with that? Nah, it's okay. Okay, I'll get you fries. Because you know he wants fries. You're trying to honor him. See, we don't think like this because here's the thing. What we want to do, we don't want to think. We're distracted on these little devices that don't make us think. Just entertain. They muse. It's amusing. But we don't muse. You know what that is? Think. We don't muse no more. We are amused time and time and time again. We stop thinking, Ms. Deborah. And then our brain is rotting now, and we don't know how to figure out things, and it's so stressful, and I just can't. Calm down. It's okay. The Bible teaches us these principles. Pastor, it seems like it takes too much work. It's worth it. Things are worth fighting for, like your family, your children, your marriage. How many of us have perfect marriages, amen, without lying? None of us. But we fight for it, and we're committed. And the Bible tells us how to deal with it. So that's why it's important. Mama, it's not going to be okay. Dad, it's not going to be okay. Father, that's why it's important to have a family devotion. If you're just a married couple, start praying with your partner. Because I promise you, your partner has needs that you can't fulfill, that only God can fulfill. But she needs to know that you're supporting her. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll say amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Wives, the same with the husbands. Listen, one of the greatest supporting, I don't know what it's called, but a shot that'll just give us energy, just to give you a heads up, ladies. One of the biggest advantages that a husband has is a supporting wife. Not a negative wife. I'm going to tell you, when we started our church, Ms. Claudia, you don't have to pay attention to this, brother. He didn't have to pay attention to this. I wanted to quit, like, right off the bat. I did. Because I realized, oh, man, I'm not going to get paid. I'm like, oh, man. I was told I was going to get something, and, you know, I was going off of that. But then, you know what God did to me? He's like, Zeke, when has money ever been an issue with you and me? And I'm like, oh. Because I grew up with nothing. Literally, I grew up with nothing. And all down this journey of faith, I've seen how God has provided. And I'm not saying we're rich or wealthy, but I've seen how God's opened doors of opportunities. And He's never let me down, Ms. Deborah. See this? You couldn't see this before, okay? You couldn't see that before. Amen? I'm blessed. I could live off of this maybe like a month, maybe a month and a half if I drink water. But here's the thing. I started allowing the world to pollute my mind by saying, well, this is living by sight instead of living by faith, trusting God and His promises. living by sight and saying, man, that paycheck, a zero. And what do they expect from me? Well, guess what they expected from me? And that's why you don't see the yard cutter. Amen. I'm going to work on it. Amen. I'm the yard cutter. I'm supposed to be the landscaper at Victory Baptist Church, the power washer at Victory Baptist Church. You see that facade, that brick facade wasn't here before. I had to figure out, I had to be the contractor of Victory Baptist Church. Any pipes or toilets or things of that nature, I had to be the contractor for that. You say, Pastor, you're not the repairer? No, because we have godly men that will actually do it. Appreciate Brother Edmundo showing my boy how to change toilets, amen, and fixing pipes. I appreciate Brother Will helping Brother Zach running the wiring for our security system. We have godly men that do that. But here's what I didn't realize. We don't get paid for that. I know. I'm not about money. I'm just trying to explain to you. If we allow the world to pollute how we think, then this becomes what? A job. It doesn't become a ministry. Ms. Shante, I had to pray. And I had to ask God, how can I clean my way? Because that's pollution. That's corruption if I'm thinking that way. Now, should I get paid? Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. After 9 years, I finally got a salary. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that's showing you how God has blessed our church. Before that, we had to provide for the family. Amen. I had to work for FedEx Longview. Amen. For 6 months. And then after that, praise the Lord, Ms. Claudia opened up the gateway of insurance. Amen. For my family. And you know, that's all she wrote. That's how we made our living. And I appreciate that. I don't look at it in a negative way, and I joke around, but that's God providing. It wasn't always pretty. But you know how you have to keep your life clean? Stop being distracted by the world. Stop being distracted by the associations that you hang out with. Listen, it's very important we understand that freedoms and spiritually speaking, truth must still be defended. If you're married, ladies, there should be no reason. I touched on this in the beginning. Why you have a ladies' night out at the club? You say, I just have to shake it, okay? Or I just have to burn some calories. No, what you're doing is trying to catch the eye of somebody else. At the clubs? Why don't you go shake it over there with your husband? Oh, sorry, I'm not trying to get, you know, in the flesh. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to give those images, okay? What I'm trying to tell you is this. I've learned, like, where we're from, she's just trying to get another baby daddy. Where I'm from. Now you say, well, Pastor, we're different. Nah. If you are satisfied by your husband, you're not trying to catch anybody else's eye. Girls' night out is, hey, the night out where I'm going to be myself and I'm free and let's see whose eyes I can catch. That's realistic. Don't be lying. You don't have to go to the club, do you? What about if I say, hey, we're going to the boys' night out and we're going to go get drunk in the bar? Yeah, okay, no. You're not trying to have a boys' night out. You're not. At the bar? Yeah, man, we're just going to be happy. Imagine getting some counsel, right? Man, I married a redhead. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't know. It's just we're arguing, we're fighting, we're going back and forth. And I don't know, man. Oh, man, don't worry about her, man. Redheads, yellowheads, it doesn't matter. There's a pond out there and there's a bunch of fishes. That's the counsel I want. Is that the counsel that I want? Is that going to help my marriage and fight for my marriage? Oh, those are my friends, though. Don't let the world pollute the way of man. It's the same way with the clubs. What is in the club? A bunch of single men. Well, I don't know. I don't. But here's the thing. Women looking for men. Alcohol. Maybe drugs. That's what's at the clubs. What's at the bars? People that can't pay their bills now because they spend all their money on the alcohol. Yeah. I found this out in the hood. In the hood. I was neighbors with them. My friends. And then I would see my friend's mom come with another dude. And I'm like, okay, time for me to go home. Now, I get it. We live in East Texas. We believe in Jesus. But we're not that far away from it, man. Come on. The world pollutes our way. You don't have to live and experience what I'm telling you, but I'm just trying to say you have to fight for the truth. You have to fight for your marriage. You have to fight for your family. Stop associating with people that are not of the same faith or like-mindedness. If they don't think marriage is good, what kind of advice are they going to give you? Sorry, Ms. Lauren, you're a teacher, been in education for years now. Let me ask you something. Would it be an educated decision if I listen to a homeless man about how to pay my house off? Why not? He's homeless. Now, Brother Mundo, I appreciate him because he's like me. He's like, but he could show you what not to do. I understand that. Amen. I understand that. No, Brother Mundo. Don't worry, Brother Mundo. I'm trying to stay with this. But it's like, okay, let me ask you this then. What if my best friend is someone that's on his third marriage and I'm getting marriage advice from him? You think that's wise? On the third marriage. You think it's wise for me to get counsel on how to keep my marriage? Now, he could teach me what not to do, but what I'm trying to say is this. I'm not trying to pick or anything like that because I really don't know situations. I'm trying to explain to us we need to fight for truth. And we need to be very careful to understand that the world corrupts the way of man. Because here the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man what? Cleanse his what? Way. That word way is lifestyle. That word way is how they live. That's what way is here, okay? Here's the second point I'd like to share with you. God's word is the only true cleansing power. It says, Psalm 119:9, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. God's word is the only true cleansing power. You know what the word of God is? It's soap. It cleans everything wrong with me. My wrong desires, the word of God cleans that. My wrong way of thinking, the word of God cleans that. It's only through the word of God. It's that spiritual soap. You say, Pastor, why do we need that? You don't have to teach a baby to lie. You don't have to teach a baby to fight. Just go to our nursery. Amen? One baby has a toy. You think they want to share? No. I didn't have to teach them that. I didn't have to teach my kids to fight. Praise the Lord. They have siblings. Amen? They fight. I'm not saying so you can look at my family and criticize it. I'm just trying to tell you that's just human nature. And if we're not careful, that's how we're going to continue in our behavior till we're adults. But the Word of God can cleanse our hearts. The Word of God can cleanse our thinking. It's coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. Amen. We're Baptists to the core. Amen. We dunk you. Amen. Baptize you. No, I'm joking. Okay. I want you to know that the Word of God is what convicts us. You know that feeling sometimes when you're listening to the truth and it hurts? That's conviction. Don't get mad at that. You know what that means? You're saved. If you were somebody that didn't care and you're not moved by the word of God and by the truth, that's another indicator you probably are not saved. You know what you should say? Man, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm looking at the fact that there's something wrong in my life, and you just hit home. He said, Pastor, I don't like feeling that way. But listen, it's better than being condemned. Conviction is better than being condemned. Lost and on your way to hell. Is that not right? Yeah. Listen, it's like what we do with parents with our children, and we try to look, is there any remorse? You know, for their bad doing. We try to look to see, is there any godly sorrow there? Amen? Or they're just upset because they got caught. We want to make sure they have that godly sorrow where they repent and they say, man, I did something wrong. Mom, I'm sorry. I cheated on my test. Or I don't know. I'm sorry I didn't. What was it one time? I don't know if it was Zeke. I'm not trying to embarrass him, but I don't know if it was Zeke. I think it was. He came to our room. Man, I'm sleeping. But Miss Deborah, don't not wake me up. Like, once it's past 11 or 12, I'm out. My son comes over there. It's 3 in the morning, man. 3 in the morning. And he goes knocking on the door. I'm like, oh. Wakes me up, Daniel. And you know what it was? He was apologizing to me. This was in the time he has his own phone. But this is the time where we're trying to figure out how to, you know, navigate the phone thing. They need to come take it to our kitchen and then leave it up there, plug it up. They can't take it to their room with them. That way they can go to sleep and things of that nature and not look at things they shouldn't be looking at. Well, he told me, like, Dad. And he was crying. And then his mom's like, what's wrong, honey? I'm like, hold on, woman. Let's see what he has to say. Amen. And then she's like, I'm not mean. I'm just sleep. Amen. And grumpy. And I said, hold on. Amen. What do you need to tell us? And he goes, and he's just crying. I'm like, man, what's wrong? I'm like, then I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to worry. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry for what? He's like, I saw something that I shouldn't have seen. And man, first thing in my mind, because I'm so wicked, I'm thinking things you shouldn't have seen. Amen. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I got mad, but I try to be pastoral at that moment. Amen. Be spiritual because I need my son. I see their sorrow. He didn't have to tell me. I didn't catch him. He had remorse. And he came and he's like, I saw. And I said, but I don't need to see that junk, but what did you see? And then he's like, I know you guys are going to think we're weird. Okay, I'm sorry. He goes, I saw a woman kissing a guy. Then I got mad. I'm like, man, you woke me up for this. I wanted to smack him. I'm like, what? I said, you see me, mom, and I kiss? He's like, yeah, but it's different. You're married. And then I said, show me the thing, man. And it was something like on a show. I don't know what the show was. It's a kid's show. It's supposed to be like a teen show. And I'm like, why are you watching this? The girls were watching it. But they didn't tell. He told on them, snitch. No, I'm kidding. Okay. It was a show that the girls were watching. I don't know what it was. It's a Disney show. And the girl gets a boyfriend and they kiss. I'm like, oh, man. But listen, if that's the worst, I'm okay. Amen. I'm okay. I thought it was something else. Amen. How wicked. Amen. But my point that I'm trying to make is this. That's what the Word of God does. It convicts you. I'm not saying all of you got to get convicted, amen, when you're watching now. I'm not saying that. But I am telling you this, John 17:7, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, this young boy and the way we live at home, you know, they're not allowed to watch just anything. And it should be that way. I'm the parent. I'm supposed to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he shall not depart from it. So I'm going to make my decision whether it's popular or not. I'm trying to rescue our family. He's being raised in such a way that, and I'm not saying he's perfect, okay, because he's not perfect, but he got convicted of something at 3 a.m, something we practice, we pray at night, we pray in the morning, we do some family devotions, and I don't know what it was that he told me, and I said, Zeke, why did you wait till like 3 a.m, I'm in the flesh now, why did you wait till 3 a.m. to wake me up and tell me about this, why couldn't you wait in the morning? He's like, well, in the family devotion this morning, and I'm like, oh. So I'm at fault at it. Because we had just talked about purity, about purity in the family devotions that morning. And for Zeke, he was like, and I know that's not pure, and I'm sorry. My eyes saw something they should have seen. I'm like, okay, son. And I hit him, smacked him, and all right, go to bed, man. You know, yeah, you're pure, bro. You're still good. You're good. But you say, Pastor, why is that a big deal? Because here's the thing. Some of us, we could see wicked stuff and not get moved. And yet we call ourselves children of God, children of God. We could say curse words and not be moved and say, God bless you, in the next sentence. You understand? Listen, we need to understand that we need more of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that cleanses all of that. You cannot continue, I cannot continue using our past history as a crutch. When I go to God, I'm going to be held accountable for my actions. I can't say, well, I married the redhead you gave me, God, it's her fault. What? The church you gave me, God, it's their fault. No, he's going to say, Ezekiel, this happened. Why? I'm going to be held accountable. Not you. That's the thing about the true liberty of the soul. My wife is not going to be in trouble or be held accountable for what I do. My children are not going to be held accountable for what I do. Just like my father can't be held accountable for what I do, even though he never existed in my life. That's what we need to understand, that his word cleanses the heart. Third point, the greatest way to honor sacrifice is to live right. Right here I put, obedience to God's word produces a clean life. But listen to what I'm telling you. The greatest way that we can honor that is by, to honor that sacrifice that they did, is to live right. Some of you have some godly parents, man. Some of you have some godly grandparents. Some of you have some godly family members, in-laws, whatever you want to call it. Aunts, uncles, friends. Man, they've sacrificed for you. And every time that we choose to do wrong, it's like a slap in their face. I know we don't like talking about it, so this is why I use myself as an illustration. But can you imagine what kind of an ingrate I would be for a mama who fled, not fled, she left El Salvador. Do you understand in the 80s what was happening on in El Salvador in America? Do y'all remember the Cold War? You do remember? Do you remember? You weren't born, huh? Y'all remember? Communism was trying to take over, right? Praise the Lord, Ronald Reagan, amen. This wall will fall, amen. But anyways, before that, Russia was doing a good job at taking South American countries and Central American countries, communism. And what they would do, this stuff nowadays is nothing new. It's always happened. This is how it works, communism. They rally the people, and it's usually the people that don't have things, or people that maybe might be the angriest, or people that are lacking of things. That's how it works. They get them riled up and say, look, if you go with us, we'll give you all of this. Well, during that time, my grandfather, who's Ezequiel Rivera, he got a big machete on his forehead with these people. They were the FMLN, and they were a communist group. They were trying to take over El Salvador. They were fighting the government. My mom was living through all this, okay? And I'm telling you that because it wasn't easy for her to see her dad in the hospital with the machete across the head, that big scar. And it had actually fractured his skull. So we didn't know if he was going to make it. I was obviously not born at that time, but the family didn't know if they were going to make it. I tell you that to say this. There are always sometimes we look at things that happen in the world and we feel bad for people. I'm not going to lie. If you're in poverty and you grew up in a situation like quite like what I grew up in, man, my heart goes out to you. I will tell you this. Just because I can relate, it doesn't mean that I give you a pass not to make something better of yourself, because I did it. So you can't give me no excuse. Sorry, you got stuck with this pastor. You got stuck with the pastor that did come from the gutter. Not even the gutter, the mud. Think about it this way. How many people have grown up all their whole childhood seeing prostitutes and pimps, druggies, crackheads? How many of you grew up in that? You follow an environment. Not only that, but then at 11 years old, see your first dead body, your classmate's bigger brother, shot up and dead. How many of you grew up at the age, I was 12? Yeah, I was 12 because Lo was 13. At 12, seeing your best friend with a pumpkin head this big at Bentop Hospital because he got shot right here in the forehead. I didn't know heads swell up that way. These are things, and these are truths that you don't get to see unless you know. Now, do you think a child should be around stuff like that? No. And what I'm trying to tell you, don't feel bad for me. Don't feel bad for me. What I'm trying to tell you is this, that if you just obey the word of God, what it can produce is a life that you're not used to, that you're not accustomed to. It can cleanse your way. My friends, understand that the sacrifice my mom made to come to this country and work two full-time jobs, and I don't know about you, but it's not easy just to pay off your house, especially nowadays. My mom was able to do it as a single mother, working two full-time jobs and cleaning houses on the weekend. So excuses for us, it's hard. It's not that we're better. It's just we understand what it takes. Now, what kind of a person would I be if I grew up to be a gang-banging drug dealer, street pharmacist, and they end up being part of the Tango Blast in Texas just because we have family members there, or part of the Texas syndicates? what kind of a son would I be? That's why I don't speak of things, because I don't want to get people in trouble, and I don't want to talk about things that you don't know. But you understand that life, that's the gutter. It's death. What kind of a son would I be if I would have grown up to be something like that? Inspire or aspire to be a gang member? Because that's all we have. You got to understand where we come from. You see, who are the people that have the things? The cars, the rims, what is it, Little Weezy? The bling, amen? I don't promote him, but you know, it's a poet that you don't know, amen? When you grow up, what is it that you see? It's the people in the streets. It's the people posted up. Okay, over there where I grew up, Studiwood Circle. It's the guys posted up with the grills, with the jewelry. I didn't see a doctor. I didn't see lawyers. Police didn't even show up where we lived. But what kind of a son would I be? Listen to what I'm telling you. After all the effort my mom tried to raise me the right way, take me to church, what kind of a son would I have been if I would have gone that route? I would have dishonored her sacrifice. Can I tell you, as Christians, we shouldn't do the same. There have been men and women in your life that have probably showed you the way, that have shown you the word of God. Listen, the best thing you can do is honor their sacrifice by obeying. Not necessarily them, the word of God. It's the word of God that produces a life, a clean life. Folks, if I did not believe in God, I would either end up dead, in the prison, or in the hospital. Can I tell you where I ended up being? A business owner. Okay, of two businesses, one was an insurance broker, but the other one was flipping houses, successful. I didn't go to school for that. How does that happen? Oh, I paid my taxes too, so. But how does that happen? How does it happen? God will open up the opportunities for you. God will show you the path. The Bible says, Psalm 119, 106, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, shows you where you're standing, and a light unto my path. It shows you what direction to take. It's God. God will help you. So when you're saying, oh, it's just the friends I have. No. Have you asked God for the right friends? It takes work. No, Pastor, it's just the upbringing that I came from. Have you asked God to help you surpass that upbringing, to become better than that upbringing? Have you asked God? The problem is nowadays, this is what we do. We get distracted with the world and we forget that the world pollutes our thinking. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving what? Our own selves. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, the word of God. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all this that is written therein. Written in what? In the book. The word of God. What is the result? For then thou shalt make thy way what? I'm not about prosperity preaching, because that's not what it's talking about. But God doesn't expect Christians to be broke. I'm telling you, God does not expect you to be broke. He expects you to prosper. Anything you do, anything your hand touches should be the Midas touch. You should prosper. What's the key? The book. Not your way, his way. That's the difference. We try to do it our way, but our way is polluted by the world. His way is the clean way. And then shalt thou have good what? Success. Can I tell you why over the 9 years we've been able to go without that salary? I think for y'all been paying the salary now 2.5 years now. So that's a blessing, amen. But can I tell you the 9 years why we were able to do that? Because God has brought success into my wife and my life. God has helped my wife and I prosper. And if you see my children, I'm not saying they're anything special or anything. They're a little special, but not special. It's because homeschool. But go to McDonald's on 5th Street and 323, you'll see Haley, the manager of McDonald's. Go to Chick-fil-A at the mall, you'll see Zeke, a manager status at Chick-fil-A. And Harmony, I don't know, we got to pray for her. I don't know if she's going to make it. Amen. No, I'm joking. But they already have her doing managerial things. Why is that? Because of who I am? The book says, if we keep this first, guess what's going to happen to our life? The way. It's going to be prosperous. Our marriage, prosperous. Our families, prosperous. And guess what? We shall have good, not some, but good what? Success. It's not about money. And that's the problem. It's not about money. It's about our hearts. Are you willing to give it to God? Bow your head. Close your eyes. A soldier may give his life to protect a flag, but it's up to the next generation to preserve what that flag stands for. Likewise, God has given us truth, but we must choose whether we will live by the truth or not. Church, please never take freedom lightly. Never do that. Let us never take the truth lightly. Don't take what Jesus did lightly, because freedom is costly. It will cost you something. Truth is precious. Obedience still matters in the sight of God. I want to give you the key ingredient to success and prosperity, and it's simply this: obey God's word. Obey God's word. That's the clean way. Before we were called Christians, we were called people of the way. In the book of Antioch is when the world gave us the name or terminology Christian, because we were in our behavior and a way of doing things like Christ. That's what Christian means. Little Christs. Here's my question to you. It's not what the world sees. It doesn't really matter. They're not going to be happy with us all the time. But let me ask you this. What do you want to pursue in your life? If you say, I want to pursue after God, I'm telling you this right now. In your moral compass, that's a real good thing. That's a real good desire. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Because then you're going to pursue prayer. You're going to pursue the word of God. You're going to pursue obedience. When you're pursuing God, that's what you're pursuing. You're going to pursue God for your marriage. You're going to pursue God for your family. You're going to pursue God for your finances. You're going to pursue God for your goals. I really do want God to bless you. Not because we need it, no. But we do, in this generation, these young people growing up, need to see prosperous, successful Christian people. And I know I can go on this room and I can point out some that God has blessed and continues to bless. It might not be much to everybody else, but we know these little blessings that God gives us is the world to us. But listen, don't get weary. Don't faint. Don't quit. Keep pursuing God. Heavenly Father, thank you for Psalm 119, Lord. I do understand that the world contaminates, Lord. But thank you for giving us the antidote. Your word cleanses. And Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the key to transformation. It's just simply obedience. Thank you, God. We don't have to stay without an answer. We don't just get preached our wrongs. Lord, we're taught through your word how to correct it. You give us the way to learn how to live the Christian way, the clean way. I pray that we may remember, Lord, today, not just honor brave Americans who gave everything for our freedom, but that we may also remember the greatest sacrifice ever made. Jesus Christ on Calvary died for the souls of mankind. Thank you, God, for your truth. Thank you, God, for being part of America. Thank you, God, for our freedom. Heavenly Father, I just pray that our church family would recommit today, Lord, today, to live according to the word of God. Because Heavenly Father, that's the cleanest life. The cleanest life is still the life that surrenders to you. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that this weekend you would help each and every one of us here under the sound of my voice. Give them a special blessing, Lord. Give them a special blessing as they go home, as they spend time with family, friends. This weekend, Lord, I pray that everything would go well, but continue on this weekend, Lord, past this weekend, as they go back home this year, that they would recommit to obeying the word of God. And Lord, I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because you've done it in my life. I've seen it in my wife's life. I've seen it in my children's life. When we put you first and we obey it, then we can get prosperity and then we can get success. It doesn't come easy. That's not what we're saying. The struggle is real. But I'd rather struggle in life with God on my side and God's favor than struggle in life without God's favor. I just want to say thank you, God, and the honor and the glory be to you. Put a hedge of protection about every family here. Those that are traveling this weekend, please put a hedge of protection about them, Lord. Please guide them. Please protect them. I pray that they would avoid harm's way. And Lord, everyone that's still here and continues to live here in East Texas, such a great community, I pray that we would continue to grow in your word. The honor and glory be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. Please enjoy your Memorial Weekend and have a great day. Amen.